In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Waiting is such a huge part of our lives. We have to endure waiting every day. Either it's the mundane waiting or waiting for a train or waiting for some doctor to give us, waiting in the doctor's office or for a dentist, or even waiting for the church service to start. In some cases, we are at the doctor's waiting for medical test results, and it can be an anxious time because the news could be either relieving for us or it could be bad news. When a woman falls pregnant, she and her family know that in most cases, it'll be 9 months of waiting until the child is born. And part of waiting is, as I said, contains much anxiousness and concern. I remember when I was in the ordination discernment process, I did a lot of waiting to find out if God and the church was really calling me forward to ordination. And the most painful, anxious wait of that time was following the postulants conference, which occurs every February. Following a full day of interviews, I left the Garden City campus emotionally exhausted and a little disappointed. In past years, the bishop had advised those candidates who were going to be made postulants on the day of the conference. But for my group, they decided to wait 2 weeks as they considered who they were going to make a postulant. It was an agonizing 2 weeks for me. The decision that would be made would either change the trajectory of my life, or I would return back to Australia and return to my old way, picking up the pieces of my life there. It was hard not to be anxious. And so we come to the season of Advent, which is a season of waiting. The original Advent season was a penitential season where men and women would fast as they prepared to welcome in the Christmas season. But in early medieval years, the focus sort of switched from waiting for Jesus' second coming to waiting for his birth. But it's important, I think, to refocus our Advent attentions back to the original meaning of Advent. The world in which we live is terribly fractured, but I suggest that it has always been fractured. Nations fight against nations. Millions of people starve, even though the world has enough food. We fight over our religious beliefs, and in families there is squabbles because people feel slighted. Our political system focuses on each of us having to take sides against each other, rather than focusing on who has the best policies for healing and giving prosperity to our communities. As humans, we seem powerless to heal these fractures. They may get papered over for a time, but it's not long before some other problem emerges to take the place of the last one. So this season of Advent invites us to acknowledge the depths of our plight and our estrangement from God and the purity of God's creation. The Advent hope is that God will, at a time of God's choosing, complete the work begun in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. The collect for today invites us into this hope. When we prayed to God, we asked for the grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which God's Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day we may rise to life immortal. So we are waiting, not in passivity, but with hope in our hearts that God will grant us grace to continue to work on things in this temporal world that will continue to shape the world toward the perfect creation that God released when he spoke it into being. The focus of our gospel reading today is Jesus' proclamation of what will precede the last days, or the day of his second coming. Jesus tells his disciples that what they should expect and make sure that they are prepared. Just like when we see the early sign of summer by seeing the fig trees sprout fresh new leaves, so we may be able to see the early sign of Jesus' coming with power and great glory. We will witness distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of seas and the waves. And in ancient times, the sea was always a sign of chaos. I couldn't help but think we have so many signs all about us that we should all be woke to the fact that this chaos and confusion has already arrived. Natural calamities are happening all around the world, fires and floods, earthquakes, the effect of rising sea levels and warming oceans on vulnerable coastal communities and island nations. We also see the impact of violence and addiction in our communities and endless signs of hopelessness among young people, middle-aged people, and elderly people. Our political system is under severe strain, and authoritarian leaders are being elected around the world as saviours for certain ethnic majorities. Refugees are fleeing war and poverty and violence in huge numbers, but are not welcomed in more prosperous and stable neighbouring countries. Fear of the other has become the societal norm. Now, all of this could overwhelm us and we could be drawn into the vortex of hopelessness and despair that is, in fact, endemic in our society. Rather than resolve our problems with compassionate hearts and tolerance, society has begun to turn away from justice towards these nationalistic self-centeredness. And our own fulfillment is all some care about. As I mentioned last week, one of the greatest lies that society tells us is that we don't need God in our lives because the purpose and meaning of life is to be found in pleasure. If we believe this lie and focus our life on accumulating wealth and material things and satisfying our every craving, we will eventually find the pursuit of pleasure to be a chore and to be completely unfulfilling and hopeless. Jesus reminds us that when we witness the signs of the coming age, we should stand tall and raise our heads. We shouldn't be afraid and let ourselves be cowed by the anxiety and fear of what could come next. Jesus says that whatever happens will come upon us, as all of us, as the world over. So he counsels that we shouldn't be weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. Eugene Peterson contemporizes this verse in The Message this way. Be on your guard. Do not let the sharp edge of your expectation be dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, the day is going to take you by complete surprise. The rhythm of contemporary life make it ever harder to watch and wait with faithfulness. Life just has a habit of pressing down upon us, so much of that we find allocating time to spend with God difficult. But this new season of Advent, however, calls us to vigilance about where we focus our time and our energy as we wait. To look forward to Christ's coming is to refuse to make our peace with the world as it is. Rather than being consumed by anxious anxiety, activity, or passive consumption, Advent summons us to be people who wait, vigilant and expectant, for the deliverance of God. The birth of Jesus Christ was the beginning of the end times and the beginning of hopeful waiting that the world will be made right once again. This season of Advent will afford you the opportunity to again reflect on your life, to see if you are standing tall, waiting for Jesus despite the chaos and the calamities befalling the world. Jesus encourages us to pray that we might have the strength to escape these things that will take place and the strength to stand before the Son of Man. So in this Advent season, may you find the strength as we wait with hopeful hearts. Amen.